hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Probably a bit of radio history. Hall of Famish. That was awesome, Greg. I didn't tell Greg where I wanted to go before the spot with Kenny Mayne, because I've talked to Kenny a bunch of times. Then I actually misstated Kenny and his role with Randall Cunningham anyway. I wanted you to drive that part of the interview because, you know, you're learning more and more about UNLV football, as we all have over the years. But, yeah, the great Kenny Mayne on with us just a couple minutes ago. He's playing Kimmel's in that Link area, the promenade. He's playing on Monday, and it's going to be a movie and a monologue and a lead-in. I love that you compared it to Tyson, so I wanted to hear some moment where Kenny Mayne had, like, ripped someone's ear off in anger.
Yeah, and
bit
exactly.
Someone.
And then Daddy tried to shoot me or whatever.
So then I was hanging out at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. Remember, they've got the big game watch party going down at Gillies. GilliesLasVegas.com to get your information. I'm hanging out here in Reno. UNLV basketball is at Lawler tomorrow in a 7 o'clock start, 6:30 with Runnin' Rebel warm-up. So I'm actually in the building that houses the station that runs our show from 4 to 5. 94.5 is the ESPN station up here. Greg, I've now been to Lotus Boise. Obviously, I work at Lotus Las Vegas, and now I've been at Lotus Reno. This place is weird. It's a Friday. The 3 o'clock hour, the place was teeming with people walking around and moving.
Really?
It was like 3 o'clock on a Friday.
Wow. Yeah, that's weird. I haven't seen anybody at our place since Tuesday.
I didn't have to do much more to set that one up. Here you go. Lob the softball. Slam it out of the park. We go hard for 4.5 days. We all work weekends too. Everyone at Lotus, every single person, they're out working weekends too, man. You get you know, Friday, you can take it easy a little bit, go get a little happy hour. Why not,
man? I do two full shifts Saturday and Sunday night on comp. You should go listen. It's the most listened to show except for the arena.
But clearly we're very popular in the building because they're like, you're Cofield, and people keep walking by. They're like, oh god, what a disappointment.
That's the guy that ate 5 donuts.
Exactly. The physique would suggest 25 should have been done, but that did not happen.
I like the guitars. Looks like Huff's house.
I've got guitars in the background. This is actually, I think this is like the, no one's going to know what this reference is, but I think this is like the Demo Dave room. But the weird thing is it's got a lot of windows and everyone can see if you're working or not. I mean, Dave works all the time. Dave turns everything around for me in seconds.
Sure.
But
I think no windows helps him because he's in there, like, concentrating on his craft, you know? The windows maybe, like, distract you a little bit or something.
You know what? Everyone in that building, that's our production guy. He does so much stuff. Everyone needs to leave him alone. And because we have a couple of people who walk around the building and are like, what do I do right now? Let me go chat with people. Like, no chatting. No chatting.
I haven't smoked a cigarette in 3 minutes.
We're live? Oh, crap. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
You know, the funny thing, Greg, about that whole diatribe is, truth be told, I'm never actually in the building, so almost everything I said is actually directly from Griffin and his complaints.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually a good point. People probably think you don't do anything either because you're never there.
Did you still work here?
Yeah, exactly.
So I saw a retweet yesterday, and it was Jose Canseco. He retweeted a video of Tanya Harding of skating fame. I think that's what she's famous for. And just said, whoa. What do you think he was saying whoa about or to?
Well, I mean, is it just of her skating or is there other things in it? Because she's got other videos that you could say whoa to.
Yeah.
But it was a skating video.
Well, let's do a little age test here, as we often do. Griffin almost ripped my head off when I suggested he might not know who Vince Lombardi is.
Yes.
Very insulting.
Griffin? Yep. Tanya Harding?
Tanya Harding? Yeah, no dice. I don't know. She sounds nice. Great person, but
whoa!
No idea.
Whoa. How dare you side with Tanya Harding over Nancy Kerrigan? Great person.
Yeah.
These are people?
Wrong.
I like it. See? This is why we got to do this. We have all generations listening to the show. Tanya Harding at one point was one of the biggest names in the United States and one of the biggest names in U.S. Olympic history. That's how big she was.
Wait, yeah, there's skater.
Yeah, there's actually a movie about her called Tanya that's really good.
I do know who it is. I saw that movie, and it was graphic, but it was good.
It is very graphic.
So what is Canseco saying woe to?
It's got to be. Here's what I'm just guessing. It's probably like, oh, man, I forgot about this era. Whoa. Like if you're like watching the OJ chase or something. You know?
Yeah. Did you see the clips? Did you see the clips of the... Of the Racier movie?
The what movie?
Well, the Galooly thing.
What?
Her boyfriend, Jeff Galooly, the porn film.
Oh, you mean did I see the porn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had LimeWire back in the day, man. Hell yeah, I did.
I thought that was what Canseco's like, oh, she's back.
Wait, is there a new porn?
No, I hope not.
Oh, God. Okay, because the one I saw was in a hotel room and she had a mullet. Is that the one you're talking about?
There's nothing sexier than sex with someone with a mullet.
Yeah.
You nailed it. That was my whole journey there. Number three. Oh, boy. I'm going to get kicked out of this building if you're listening. Okay. We got something brewing in the NBA. We got a lot of things brewing. First of all, can I get your take on the idea of going from 12 to 10-minute quarters?
Why?
Exactly.
Come on. Stop. Stop fixing things that aren't broken. They're like, oh, people aren't watching anymore. Let's change it to the RBA. Like, what do you mean? What does that got to do with anything? Like, it doesn't even matter. Stupid.
Well, it looks like they're going to try to do some expansion. What are we looking at overseas?
Well, they're going to start these enormous leagues in Europe, apparently. And the word is, because we've been talking about Seattle and Las Vegas getting teams from expansion, and he's saying no expansion, or that would be on hold until we expand overseas. So if they're going to – and these leagues are going to play themselves. It's not like there's going to be like a European league and then they're going to play, the NBA players. They're going to be playing themselves. So I don't even understand why that would matter. But, yeah, apparently – By Silver's words, it doesn't sound like expansion's on the top of his mind here. It sounds like it's elsewhere.
Do you believe him?
You know why? I don't want to, but yeah, because look at these, the Brazil games and the NFL and this thing. They're so obsessed with globalization with these sports that I do believe him. I believe like he's like, you know what? Vegas has got a couple sports teams. They want to watch it, go to the book. You know what I mean? Now we're going to have the United Emirates League. They're not going to stop. It's just going to be leagues all over the place. And I'd like them to focus here first. That'd be cool.
I think they are going to expand, but I don't believe that expansion here in the States has been put on hold.
You don't at all?
I think it's an unintentional smokescreen. I'm not sure that Silver is savvy enough to throw us off. I actually think that I actually believe at long last that the announcement will come here in about 2 weeks.
That's going to come to Vegas, or that they're going to do these leagues overseas?
That they're expanding in the United States and two cities are getting a team.
Oh, you'd make me so happy. So, or he would, or whoever says it.
Just mark this down. And Griffin, bring it back. Vegas will have a team.
Oh, yes.
I think it gets announced coming up. In a couple of weeks.
All right.
But what do I know?
A lot, apparently.
Number two. If they don't announce in 2 weeks, gut this part of the program. Do nothing. Oh, boy. Yesterday, I freaking went on a rant. And I'm like, we need to listen to the people. We need to stop calling them deplorables. They watch All-Star games. We in the media need to stop saying that Pro Bowl games or NBA All-Star games suck. Greg, people still care about this. You might not. People still care about the Pro Bowl games because they reinvented it. Now, I didn't care enough to know that it actually started already. There's a set of activities that have been going on. But I believe that the normies, I know I am often a normie, the normies really love football so much that if you put some kind of football summit with some events, some goofy events, people will watch, people care.
See, I separate them, though. Like, I think of it as more of, like, all pro. Like, all pro, there's no all pro game. But if you make it, you know, it's a good thing. It's something to have. It's a notch on your belt. I feel like these days the Pro Bowl is still important. Like, if I was a player, I would love to be a Pro Bowler. First of all, it's probably in your contract. You get some extra money, whatever. I would love to be a Pro Bowler. I just don't think the game means anything anymore itself. Like, being a Pro Bowler, I still think means something. I don't buy the popularity contest, but because if you look at the players, it's usually the good players that make it. So I still think it's a thing. I just don't care about the game.
Well, there really is no game anymore. It's a flag football game. It's kind of the least important thing.
I don't care about that at all. I can do that with my friends.
But I do think people will tune in, and I think they'll get ratings. And then when they put the package together of some of the events, I think that'll be super interesting. All right, number one.
Number one.
Which is kind of a continuation of these Pro Bowl games, because I actually built a roster here, a rundown with two number twos. They're doing some good events. Griffin made a remark yesterday. Well, no, he actually quoted Dan Patrick making a remark about they're playing dodgeball. Yeah, I like it. What's wrong with dodgeball? What's wrong with all these other events they're coming up with? And they'll keep tweaking where you get to see pro athletes and skills competitions. And let me tell you something. Dodgeball's hard. You can get hurt.
What does it got to do with football?
It doesn't have anything.
Okay.
But guess what?
You know, this reminds me of, have you ever seen Vegas Vacation? Where he, like, runs out of money and he has to go to, like, these bootleg casinos and it's like, you know, rock, scissors, paper and, like, guess how many numbers I have behind my back. I mean, is that where we're going with it? That has nothing to do with football. Okay. So silly.
Back in the day, when I saw Suzanne Somers on Superstars, this was Battle of the Network Stars, convert a 7-10 split.
Oh.
You know how fired up I got?
About as fired up as I got with that commercial where she used that thigh thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you remember 1984 dodgeball? Don Knotts delivering in dodgeball actually knocked a guy out. Ricardo Montalban went down like a house of cards. Competition, any kind of competition with pro athletes.
Get knocked out by Mr. Furley, man. Come on.
Furley had a friggin' rifle.
That's so awesome. Furley's got a hose.
You're going to find out about skills of different NFL players. By the way, I don't know that this is official. The way I read it, it sounded like when they did the NFL relays that the Bosa brothers were in the competition. And Joey got hurt before the competition, which if you know a Charger fan, when they hear that, and I do know one of them, I live with her, and she all the time she's like, Joey, you're hurt you're questionable every game.
Well, I say that about every player. I wouldn't let him do anything off field. Nothing.
Yeah.
You can't do anything.
Well, it got me thinking. Do you know the Bosa's history? We might have to build on this in like 20 minutes. Do you know their family history?
I mean, I don't want to say it, but probably.
Do you? So their great-grandfather was actually the head of the Chicago mob for like 25 years and was a heavy going back like 20 years before that for Capone.
Yeah, really? Wow, I didn't know that, actually. No, yes. I was going to make up something.
I will bring this back. No, this time, you know what? I'll admit, Mr. Furley knocking out Montalban, I made that one up. No, the Bosa is actually
in the lineage. YouTube.
Of a major crime figure of the 70s? No, that is actually true.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
So I don't know if I feel the sizzle going into this rivalry game with UNLV at Nevada. I may go out tonight, Greg, with a bunch of UNLV stuff on, get a little drunk and loud and see if someone will beat me up. I need some kind of fire. Both teams are kind of having a season where they're like, we're not there. Conference, Steve Alford's team is 3-7. UNLV dropped to 5-5 the other day. But this is always a big deal. We're going to find out tomorrow how big a deal it is for the fans in Reno. Shannon Kelly covers the scene for Nevada Sportsnet. Shannon, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. Happy Friday. It's a gloomy, rainy day here in Reno.
I'm aware of that. I'm actually here. I'm at the Lotus Studios for in Reno. I took a picture earlier of some like Wolfpack flags. I going to send that out right after the show. I don't want to get Vegas fans all mad. I'm glad that you mentioned gloomy, because I want to address the mood of the Nevada fans here in 3 minutes. But, you know, we have to do a deep dive on something that's very important. You're always very much down the middle when we talk, when I really get intense about the rivalry. You work with Chris Murray. I don't think Chris is lacking for passion about this rivalry. Some of the other people you work with, they're very much into it. You have become like a true media person, but I don't necessarily believe it. We have to do some digging here, Greg. First of all, Shannon, you grew up in Vegas. You went to high school where?
Centennial.
Okay. Let's get to some roots here. Did you ever consider UNLV? Did they ever look at you? Did they snub you? Did you love Nevada from the beginning? How did you land here?
So it's actually a crazy story. So I went to a couple UNLV softball camps growing up, went to some UNLV volleyball camps. So definitely, you know, went to some games. And, you know, I didn't start playing softball again until I was like a sophomore in high school. So then I went to a junior college. And then I actually was going to go to UNLV, though, after going to Santa Barbara City College for 2 years, because I felt like, you know, hey, I was already working at the Wynn, at the pool, I was making good money, why not just go to UNLV and just, you know, call it a wrap, until my dad actually convinced me. He's like, why don't you just try Nevada? Like, maybe you can walk on and play softball there. And sure enough, that's what ended up happening. And I haven't left. So actually a pretty crazy story. But growing up, to be honest, I didn't go to any UNLV football games, really. Did go to some Run and Rebels games, but, I mean, through and through, I am a Nevada alum, so I guess you kind of know where I stand on that, I have no hatred towards UNLV from that perspective. They didn't, you know, snub me, per se.
Okay.
Wait, you were a walk-on, though? That's like Willie Mays Hayes. That's awesome. So, like, you just walked on and made the team?
Yeah, pretty crazy. The old coach, Matt Michael, at the time, you know, I had been emailing him, and he's like, I don't have a spot. And I actually was here in Reno for a year. Like, I was just going to school, but I actually lived with some girls on the team, ironically.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, he reached out, and he's like, you know what? Actually, I have a spot for you. And I'm like, I haven't thrown a ball in, like, months. And he's like, that's fine. I'm like, all right. And the rest is just kind of history. So then I played 2 years here, and it was the best thing. Really, that could have ever happened to me, because, you know, getting the opportunity just to play Division I softball is something I dreamed about, you know, when I decided I wanted to start playing again. So, you know, I am very grateful for him and for Coach Taylor, my coach my last year, who let me play and wrap up my career as a member of the Wolfpack.
Now, let's be honest. Shannon Kelly's with us, Nevada Sports Today. We've been honest to this point. Do you miss the possibility of making like $300,000 every summer at Wynn?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not gonna lie, because the money was really good. I'm like, wow, I'm in college, I'm young, and I'm like, this is good money. I don't miss the commute, though. Like, sometimes it was almost like an hour commute to get home. Mm-hmm. That I don't miss. But it was a fun atmosphere, and you know, it's really hot in the summer, so I don't miss that, I guess, either.
Well, I've been kind of stumbling here. I've been watching what's going on with Alford's squad this year. The attendance was not that great, if I'm correct, at the San Diego State game, right?
Well, it's kind of crazy that you say that, because I just peeked at it before we got on the air here, and Nevada actually had a season high of more than 9,000 fans at that game on the box score. So, yeah, but, I mean, I think it's easy to think that, given that there wasn't a whole lot of energy in the building, given the way the Wolfpack played against the Aztecs. San Diego State wasn't intimidated, let's put it that way. And this is a place where they lost the last 2 years. They weren't intimidated.
For me, and I'm, you know, new to the rivalry over the last 25 years or so, I have my rivals from where I grew up and schools that I hate. I don't feel like I'm walking into the building now, and I'm supposed to be objective, but I don't feel like I'm walking into Lawler, and I'll just say it. Like, I don't feel like it's like the most intimidating place that UNLV plays, but that's up to the fans. But I don't know where the fans are. Like you just said, 9,000 showed up. So maybe they'll get into the game really quickly. Maybe it'll be 10,000 plus. But the way they're playing basketball, I wonder if there's a drop-off point. Because clearly with UNLV, they've played some good basketball. They beat some high-level opponents. But the fans are still not on board to the tune where they're coming out 8, 10, 12,000. So I wonder what tomorrow is going to be like in terms of intensity. I think both teams need the energy from the crowd.
100%. 100%. And I'm with you on that, because I think given, especially, you know, how things have gone these last couple of weeks, it's tough really to say. I was a little surprised that there was that many fans that showed up, just given how the team had took some tough losses and then took that tough loss to San Diego State too. But I think at the same time, fans love the rivalry whenever it's Nevada and UNLV in any sport. I feel like this community does show out. So, I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if there's, you know, 10,000 in the building on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I mean, it snowed here last Saturday and fans still came out to the San Diego State game. So I think that shows that, you know, this community does care. But it will be up to the crowd to bring that energy, because both teams are going to need it. But to your point too, I think like when Colorado State and Utah State came to Lawler, like they weren't intimidated by any means by the crowd during those couple games, from my perspective.
Shannon, this is a little bit left field here, but I saw this story on the LA Times, and there's this guy that's going around, and he will, like, for a fee, he'll walk up and, like, try to, you know, let you beat the crap out of him in front of your, like, significant other to impress them. So, like, if somebody, you know, you want to look like a tough guy, the guy will come over and be like, hey, blah, blah, and then he'll, like, protect your girl's honor or something and beat them up. Would that impress you, or would you think somebody was a psychopath?
I think I'm going to go the latter of the two. I don't think that would impress me. I would be like, what's going on? That's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. That's kind of weird. But hey, props to him, you know? Like, he's trying something and thinks maybe it can work and some people are going to bite on it. But I'm not going to lie, that's a little weird.
Yeah, you just got engaged and you have the picture posted at the top of your Twitter. So you're telling me your fiancé didn't fight someone right before that. And you're like, oh, my God. I love you so much.
No. But, I mean, he did play football at one point. So, but no.
I think she just said, bring it.
That was a warning shot right there.
Yeah, I love that. Someone got some strays there. Shannon Kelly's with us, Nevada Sportsnet. I saw the message from Steve Alford on the way his team is playing. And he threw it out there about toughness is lacking. Kevin Kruger, I don't know that he said toughness is lacking, but physicality at times is lacking. I'll tell you from the get-go, if both teams aren't freaking hammering each other, and I don't want anyone to get hurt, but I think both coaches are going to send the message, you better go out and you better compete from the beginning, because that was the biggest problem for UNLV in their last game. They played really well, for about 30 minutes. The first 10, they went down 22-7, and they were, you know, Utah State was kind of up in their grill, running circles around them. I can't see either team coming out for tomorrow's game and not being just balls to the wall and looking to be physical.
100%. I think Coach Alford and his staff have been, you know, talking with their guys and hammering that, hey, like, your effort and your energy, that's there, but the toughness is lacking. That's something Coach Alford has told us, you know, these last couple of weeks. But there's no way that these two teams don't show out. And, you know, who's going to play tougher? That's the team that's going to want it more, and that's who's going to come away with a win, I think, because you know, I think in the game against Boise State, it felt like Nevada was really pressing early on because it felt like such a must win, really, for both teams. But just felt like they were pressing a lot. And I think, can they play loose and free in front of their home fans in their home building? And, you know, will that help open up their toughness, if that makes sense? Because I think we've seen spurts of it, but where's that Nevada team that we saw early on in November that beat Washington, that beat Santa Clara, that beat, you know, VCU and Oklahoma State and came close to beating Vanderbilt? Like, that team has, I don't want to say it's disappeared, but at times it's not there, and it's not there to put a full 40 minutes together to win games. So I think it'll be interesting, but I mean, what, you can't get up for anything more than this. It's, you know, a home game against your in-state rival. Who wouldn't want to come away with a win on your home floor?
Nevada Sportsnet, that's where Shannon Kelly is. Chris Murray just wrote a story during the week kind of following up on some of the rumors about Pac-12 and Mountain West Conference, what's going to happen with the lawsuit. Could there be a new idea in terms of expansion? What do you think about what Chris wrote with the possibility of UNLV and Nevada joining in to move to the Pac-2?
Well, I think it's interesting just given the way the landscape is, and that, you know, I think anything really can happen and rumors are going to continue being rumors until, you know, a school comes out and says, hey, we are joining the Mountain West, or excuse me, the Pac-12, because they are still looking for that other member. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, Nevada, UNLV aren't tied together, but hey, maybe it makes sense that they do go together at some point, somewhere. Who knows when and where that'll be, but I think UNLV has positioned itself to be in a better spot given how the Pac-12 did invite them and they turned them down months ago. I think it's interesting, but I guess time will really tell to see what happens. I don't know. There's a lot of what-ifs, and nothing surprises me, though, either.
Yeah, I was going to say it could be soon, though, because the TV deal information has to come forth here for the Pac-2 or Pac-12, or they got to finish up kind of what they're doing with their conference so they can really go to the negotiating table and know what they're offering. Shannon, I will see you tomorrow at the game. Appreciate a couple minutes. And a good story about the win pool days. And by the way, with the JUCO rule change, you can still play. Go back. Get eligibility.
Hey, maybe I will. Maybe I'll think about it. Maybe I'll go back to Nixon Park. See you tomorrow. See ya.
Shannon Kelly, Nevada Sports Net, covering the scene up here because I am here. Lotus Reno is housing the show. So is Treasure Island.
I'm here.
Yes. I'm here, Reno.
Oh, that was way better than mine.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
All of you out there that seem to think that the Kansas City Chiefs are now the villains and get special treatment and talk all this hatred online as we go for our third Super Bowl in a row. As a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I speak for the entire Red Kingdom when I say, we don't give a f***.
All right, pal. One of the many Kansas City Chiefs fans up on social media like TikTok with the we and the us. We don't care if you hate us. What's the phrase of the last 2 weeks, Griffin, regarding Cam Newton coming down to Radio Row and looking for Jason Whitlock and Steve Kim to beat up?
Doing the job. Doing what you got to do to get the views.
Keep that same energy.
That too.
Keep that same energy, Greg, because I've been saying it all week, and I will repeat it early next week. On the streets of New Orleans for Chiefs fans, keep that same energy with Eagles fans. See what happens.
Oh, absolutely.
See what happens.
No, I know. Yeah, dude. Do that whole diatribe. Keep it going, man. Can't wait.
Do that at like 1 o'clock. By the way, last call will be like 3. Some places, there is no last call. Love New Orleans.
Yeah.
Keep that same energy. Puff out your chest. Do your Midwest tough guy, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, he won't.
As that.
He won't.
It's going to be wild, man. There's going to be so much energy before this game. I don't like the fatigue that other people are saying they feel. I will listen to them, and we'll see if there is a drop-off. The main complaint is the officiating, and I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, that's a fallacy. People are stupid. I did a whole rant yesterday where I was like, we have to listen to – we don't have to. We should be aware of other people's opinions, even if you think they're stupid. To call them stupid repeatedly is probably going to bite you in the ass. So I hope they fix some of the officiating things, like marking the ball with not too old guys or chain gangs and all that crap. But, man, there's going to be some fight. I want to build on what I was saying before we went to Shannon. I was telling you about the Bosas competing in the Pro Bowl games. They were in a relay, and I guess Joey had a back out, or he was hobbled.
Yeah.
He was hurt.
Right.
Those guys come from stock of tough guys. And they really are the great-grandsons of Tony Accardo, who was a Capone guy, was nicknamed Joe Batters, like the bat.
Right.
And then eventually took over the Chicago mob. He was the boss kind of from 47 to 72. He stepped out of the way, out of public light as much. And then Sam Giancana, who became very famous with the elections of the late 50s and early 60s, he was the front man. But, yeah, that's their stock. They actually go back to the freaking Chicago mob. I forget which side of the family it's on, but I've always found that fascinating. And then every once in a while I'm like, who would be the better, like, psycho heavy? And I think, like, Joey had – they're both gigantic. Is it Joey or Nick? Like, Joey has the – he's got kind of the big galoot. If you ever listen to him talk, you're like, whoa, this guy, he's got some screws loose.
Yeah, he's
but I think Nick is a legitimate sociopath. So
maybe
I think both of them could do the job at 6'4 and 250 that great granddaddy Joe Batters did back in the 20s into the 40s.
First, let me just say the mafia is a myth and doesn't exist. But yeah,
yes, I think we always have to say that. Allegedly, these are all stories, but we don't want to step on anyone's toes in Las Vegas.
But yeah, no, I think I would go with Joey. Definitely seems like more of the. You're right. I think he's more of the guy that just like tear your arms off. Want me rip his arms off, boss? Kind of guy. You know?
I swear to God, it was the same voice, right?
Yeah.
Actually, we should go back to. I was trying to do combo Shaq. Do we have the Shaq bite again? I was trying to do combo Shaq, Andre the Giant, that when a giant person has that voice, like a Dikembe Mutombo.
Yes.
And they get mad, and it goes really deep. And then they're like,
It's like the cookie.
And listen to Shaq.
You know what? At 35, what if I tear a knee and get hurt?
You still going to make $50 million. You got $50 million coming.
Bro, I want more, man.
That was it right there. And he kept getting louder.
Three, four, five, and six.
Bro, I want more.
Yeah. Like, speaking of the mob, it sounds like when they bleep their voice out so you can't hear him, it's like,
yeah, he told me to go on. He got a video part.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
You know, now we're coming with energy, not like this right here. Peace and love. What was all that that you were talking about back then? Look, now this guy's nervous. I'm going to beat the out of you, and I hope you don't have no fucking excuses, because you look scared as fuck right now. To be honest, you can smile, you do all the fuck you want, but watch. When you step into that ring this Saturday, that's El Monstro's world, and you're going to see exactly what the fuck I'm made of.
I wish he hadn't mentioned the ring on Saturday. I just wanted that to be a Philly fan responding to the Chiefs fan who's like, Chiefs Kingdom, we don't care what you think. You do. That's why you're making the videos. Boy, a showdown of epic proportions in New Orleans coming up with the Eagles fans, who I think will show up in droves. I think the Chiefs fans will show up. And from there, it'll be interesting to see where they watch the games. I'm in Reno right now. I'm headed to New Orleans for Radio Row, Greg, but I don't know what all the watch setups are like. Listen, no one can match Vegas, right? We have so many places, so many parties, so it'll be interesting. New Orleans is kind of built on small bars. So I guess most people who go down there, if you can't get into the game, most of them are going to be packed into small bars, just like they generally are in Philly. I will tell you, Philly's small bars are different than Kansas City's small bars. There's a different environment. I'm not mocking on Kansas City. Kansas City is more of a suburbia strip mall bar scene. There is a couple old areas where they have some classic bars, but Philly, most of it is kind of like your old neighborhood bar.
Right.
So I think they're going to be real comfortable in New Orleans, where the bars there are wild. They love football there. They love the friggin' Saints. You go to New Orleans during the football season, that you ain't going to find many places where you're like, hey, can I get my Jets on this TV? They're like, no, Saints. So they'll all have the Super Bowl on. It'll be wild. Looking forward to that scene. And then there's also all the betting now around the country, which – each year we keep adding more states. The handle for the Super Bowl goes up, and so do the betting options in terms of all these different things you can bet.
Dude, I threw me off for a second. I just saw something on here that I can't believe. So I skipped down a little bit here, and a couple of the bets. One of them is Patrick Mahomes over under 253 yards. Right.
That was 3 days ago.
Okay.
That's kind of the starting point.
Let's say it's still close to that. Whatever.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles over under 161 for rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
If either one of those push, if both of those push, how in the world are the Chiefs winning this game? And I'm saying that as a nervous, I still think we're going to lose because I know something's going to happen. But if Patrick Mahomes only passes for 250 yards and the Eagles rush for 160 yards, there's no way. So that actually made me very happy. Anyways, there's a bunch of other ones. There's three TDs for Saquon, which I think is pretty crazy. I mean,
what's the payoff on that one? You sent over the info. I couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's not on here. I don't remember what. I'm sorry. I don't have it in front of me because it's not on here. But hold on. Crap.
We'll find it in your notes. But there were props for individuals in the game scoring three touchdowns. They're obviously all pretty good plus numbers.
Yeah.
Because it was. Yeah, it was Saquon, three touchdowns. Hurts. I mean, Hurts could do it with the tush push. Although.
Yeah.
I guess we have to. I guess when we have on, I was going to say, I guess we have to break down the Tush Push. We did it for a couple of days to start the week, and more of it was about the Bills' failure in doing it and trying to do it the same way, and then obviously missing on that final fourth down attempt where Allen once again got stood up. It is going to be a factor in the game. The Eagles are not going to stop doing it until someone fails, and maybe the Chiefs are the team that actually can stop them because they freaking stymied the Bills.
Yeah. All right, I have my notes here. Sorry.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley to score 3 touchdowns is plus 850. Mm. Jalen Hurts to score 3 touchdowns plus 1,800, which I think that's – I don't know, man. I mean, him scoring 2 or 3 is – if they score any, it's probably going to be him, right? Doing Tush Pushes. I mean, that's what they do. This one's interesting. Will Shipley, the rookie, who actually did break off a 57-yarder last week against the Commanders, or two, whatever it was, Will Shipley score anytime touchdown plus 2,000, but if he scores the last touchdown of the game, 100-1.
Hmm. Griffin, do any of those wet your whistle? Especially the first couple, 3 touchdowns for Saquon Barkley, 3 touchdowns. And by the way, does it say rushing touchdowns?
Let's see. No, Barkley? It just says touchdowns. So he can catch one, catch a screen, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so 3 touchdowns for Barkley or 3 touchdowns for Hurts. Those are separate bets. Either one?
Yeah. In fact, I might just have to go open my sportsbook account and go ahead and put that money on Saquon getting 3 touchdowns. You got Philadelphia's whole entire offense really runs through that man. So he's the engine. If he doesn't get going, it's going to be a bad day for Philly. If they get him going, I can't. The Chiefs have a great defense, but I don't necessarily think they can stop Saquon if he gets it going. So I think that's a safe bet.
Greg, go back to the – was it 161.5 rushing yards?
Yeah, 161.5, I guess, is what it was whenever this was done. So
okay. And by the way, I mentioned – When they were posted, because I grabbed those on, I think, Wednesday. They do change. And then what you're going to have is multiple books with multiple numbers. So when we have the pros on, like Brad Powers, yesterday he said you got to watch the passing yardage for Patrick Mahomes. You bet it at one point. You might be able to get it later and get a good middle. You know, it could be you could have a ticket holding over 253.5 and under 271, and then he throws for 268 and you win both bets. On Barkley rushing for that many yards, you would bet that over?
Well, it's just the fact that it is the over-under to me that's crazy. I mean, I guess they're making me bet it by putting that up there because that means that they – I mean, somebody – expect. I would think it would be like 100, 110. I mean, 161. I mean, I don't know. For an over-under, I just feel like, yeah, I guess. I have to.
You have to bet under.
No, I'm betting over.
Oh, really?
That's crazy.
Yes.
Griffin?
Not crazy.
I just think the Chiefs defense, I think it's more likely Saquon will score 3 tutties. I could see him getting that. But the rushing total, the Chiefs defense is solid. And they are going to, and they know what this team is that they're going up against. They know what the engine is. It's Saquon. So they're not going to let him go off for like 200 rushing yards.
Let me clarify. This is Philadelphia Eagles rushing yards.
Exactly.
That's so, a big difference. I mean, if Jalen runs for 50, you know what I mean? That's right there. Then he only has to run for a buck. Saquon.
I don't know. I feel like if I'm running the Chiefs defense, the game plan going in is let's make Jalen Hurts beat us and let's make him beat us with his arm. So.
And then the Commanders tried that, and on the first play, he ran through 6 guys for 60 yards. So I mean, I don't know. I still would. On this, but
you know the Chiefs defense is a little better than the Commanders, though, right?
It is, but it's not that much better than the Packers' 6th ranked defense, and he destroyed them. I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah, Barkley's closer to like 119, 120 on the rush yards.
Yeah, right. But then, I mean, is Jalen going to get?
Which I would still play under. I think the Chiefs are going to stymie Barkley.
Wow.
I think Griffin said, they're going to target one guy, Spags, and I'm not saying they're part of the same family, but Spags, just like Belichick,
yeah,
these guys will find the strength, yep, and they will try to stop that, and then you have to come up with a way to beat them other ways. Now, can the Eagles do it? Of course they can. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's my point. I mean, you're right.
Your goal in this game is, I think Jalen Hurts can throw the ball. I think the receivers for the Eagles are good. Then do it. If I'm Spagnuolo, I'm like, then do it. But I'm not letting Barkley freaking beat me.
I just don't know if they're going to be. I mean, because you're right. And he does. He actually comes from Jim Johnson, from the Eagles' disciple, with the same thing. They would take the one guy away, whatever your strength is, blah, blah, blah. But teams have tried all year. I mean, even the best run defenses, worst run defenses, whatever, and the Eagles just maul you and run you over. I mean, are they going to have extra players on the field? Because I don't know how.
I also think the Chiefs have a chance to run the ball themselves and keep the ball away from the Eagles.
That's possible.
Do you think the Chiefs' run game, which, again, is not loaded with Saquon Barkley types, like giant names,
right?
But it is productive.
That I'm less worried about. I'm more worried about the short passing game, which gives Fangio's defense fits. You know, these little dink and dunks in the flat, running, you know, a little dump off, stuff like that, converting fourth and three on some stupid little pass to Kelsey, right over, you know, that kind of stuff, I think would, and especially Andy Reid has always said, a short pass to him is the same as a handoff, and that's the kind of stuff that would worry me more. That short passing game is so frustrating when you're trying to get off the field.
Will either team score over 40 points? You get 7-1.
I think the Eagles have to score over 40 to win.
What?
So, yeah. I feel like the game can't be close, man. You can't go into. They were up by 10 at the half last time, and it was just like, boop, boop, okay, bye. I mean, they got to get up there. And I think if the Eagles have their game, they will score 40. I mean, you can't stop them. So it's just either they're not stopping the Eagles and the Eagles win, or they stop the Eagles and they lose. But, I mean, I think if the Eagles win, they have to score 35, something like that.
Is there any 40. Outcome you guys think that this ends up in one of those Super Bowls like we saw with the Patriots and Rams, where it's strong, strong defensive presence from both teams and kind of low scoring?
No.
Possible.
I say absolutely not.
These are two very good defenses, though. Keep that in mind. Especially in the running game for the Kansas City Chiefs, they are going to have to go through Jalen Carter. And Jalen Carter is, outside of Chris Jones, probably the best defensive player on the field come Sunday.
Well, and the Eagles also will force turnovers. You know, people call them mistakes, quote-unquote mistakes. But, you know, when you're punching it out like Peanut Tillman, that's not a mistake. The Eagles do that all the time. So if they can get turnovers, we'll see.
The only way it's low scoring, it'll go over 40. By the way, at Treasure Island Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, there's going to be prop sheets where you can play all different alternate totals.
Yeah.
They offer more things on the Super Bowl than any other game of the year. So if you want to play some lower total, you can play that. I think there's the only way it would go under a game that both teams have in the 20s is if they can't finish. And there's right. a lot of field goals. But I think they will finish. So I'm with Greg. I don't know that the Eagles have to score 40 points, but this is the kind of game that I would see at a minimum somewhere in the upper 40s for a total. But the final score could kind of be like it was last week with the Chiefs and the Bills, where you get a 32-29, or the last time around, what, this was 41-35, right?
Yeah. No, it was 38-35.
38-35 right? For the Super Bowl. Yeah, okay, yeah. So you got a 73 total in that one. And that one felt like, hey, whoever has the ball last is going to win.
And one caveat real quick. I'm not saying that the Eagles will score 40. I'm saying, like, if they're playing their game and they're winning the game, they will score 40. That's what I'm saying. So, like, we'll know if the Eagles are going to win or not, if it's working. If it's not working, then, they're, you know, we'll see. Close game, fourth quarter, they probably lose. But if the Eagles are doing their game, they will score 40.
I'll throw this one at you. This is the greatest Eagles team ever, right? Roster standpoint?
I mean, roster-wise on paper, man, it's tough. Yeah, I would say they're pretty – if it's not this one, maybe 2004, maybe 2017, but this one's definitely top two.
Not the Vince Young super team?
Man, that was like a really bad team.
That was an awful
team. I
don't
want to ever think about that again in my entire life. Ronnie Brown.
I think a lot's going to be answered here because I think the Eagles are on a run where they should be considered one of the teams of this era, but you do have to knock the king off the perch. And the Kings going for three in a row. By the way.
So were the Patriots.
Yep. It's got exactly. Exactly. These are two awesome teams. I believe this is one of the top five matchups in the history of this game, the Super Bowl. It's going to be dynamite next week.